May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 563. Come, thou now exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn praise. Teach us now, henceforth, forever, to adore thy precious name. Lovely Jesus, never let us stray again. Hymn 563.
Thank you. From God's precious and holy word, we will read this evening the epistle of Paul to the Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, margin reading, reconciliation. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also as a free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May God's blessing rest upon his word of truth, and may he help us to pray. Most holy and gracious Lord God, we bow before thee in worship in this the evening hour of thy day, a day far spent, not many hours before it dies eternally. Lord, we pray before this day closes and slips into eternity, into time past, that thou wouldst come in and tarry with us, that we may know the risen Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that free gift unto life that we've read of. Lord, make some hearts glad here this evening with thy gracious and holy presence. Lord, help us to worship thee. Help us to honour thee. Help us to glorify thy great and holy name. Help us, Lord, to exalt a precious Christ. Help us, Lord, to love thee, to praise thee, to thank thee for thy kindness, for thy mercy, for thy compassion unto us. Lord, as we sang this morning, thee to see and thee to know constitutes our bliss below. Thee to see and thee to love constitutes our bliss above. Lord, we know we cannot see thee in heaven, unless we see thee by faith here on earth below first. Give us each spiritual sight this evening hour, to behold Emmanuel, to behold Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, to know what it is to be reconciled to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ. To know a crucified, risen, victorious, exalted, reigning Jesus. Lord, come in thy risen power and glory. Make one of our number and speak to our souls this night the words of eternal life and eternal love. We ask, Lord, that in mercy that thou would suit the word to every case, that thou would apply thy word with power to each heart as thou dost only apply it to the hearts of thy sheep, that we may have the evidence that we are among thy children, among those for whom Christ died for, among those for whom Christ now lives for, in heaven above. We ask, Lord, thy richest blessing upon this church and people. Do watch over them and do thou supply their every need. Bless each member of this church. And do add unto their number those whom thou hast saved eternally. Move hearts and move tongues by the love of Christ to speak of a precious Saviour reigning in their hearts and who has done such great things for them. Lord, may this church grow in grace. May it grow in fruit. May it grow in being established in the truth. May they be looking unto Jesus. May they know more the preciousness of our Redeemer. Lord, do protect this church from Satan. Keep him out. Be thee glory in the midst. Bless them, Lord, when they meet to consider their Father's business in relation to this church. Be with them in those meetings and grant them the very Spirit of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the mind of Christ, the humility of Christ. And be with them, Lord, as they meet around thy table month by month. Be with us, Lord, this evening. And grant, Lord, that when we meet around that table, we may find that Christ is there, saying unto us, peace be unto you. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the ministry of thy servants here, whom thou dost send week by week. Own and bless their labours with thy richest blessing. Lord, if it is thy will, send them an under-shepherd to speak to them week by week and pastor the flock, a man after thine own heart. We pray, Lord, for each member of this congregation. We pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst draw near to each life, that thou wouldst visit each with thy salvation, that thou would touch each heart, that thou wouldst reveal thyself as a friend of sinners and suit thy mercy to each case. Grant them, Lord, thy help in daily life. Help them, Lord, in the trials and the sorrows and the burdens of life. And help them, Lord, in the joys and the successes of life also. Sanctify, Lord, both joy and sorrow to them. And may they know much of being in the mind of Christ. May they be enabled by grace to put thee first in all matters. Do deliver them in trouble. Do teach them and sanctify the pathway to them. Do keep them together as a people. Do open doors in providence for them. Do supply their every need, their literal needs, in their bodies, in their families, in their daily lives, in their businesses, in their schools, in their colleges, in their universities, in their friendships, in their souls, in the church. Again, Lord, we pray for those who anticipate being joined together in holy matrimony in this coming week. We ask, Lord, that they may know thy richest blessing, that thou wouldst guide them in life, that thou wouldst supply their every need, that thou wouldst bless them abundantly, and thou wouldst draw near and go with them every step of the journey through life. And then, Lord, we pray for the young people. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst open doors for them. Thou wouldst grant them success as far as is right in thy sight and examinations. Thou wouldst guide them in the right employment which thou hast ordained for them. That thou wouldst guide them in their friendships. Not just, Lord, in partners in life, but that thou wouldst keep them from harmful friendships. And Lord, may they be constrained to make thy people their friends, and to come out from the world and to be separate and have as little to do with it as possible. We pray, Lord, that early in life that thou wouldst draw near unto them. Visit them with thy salvation. May they be favoured to walk all their life's journey through in thy company. And Lord, may many of them be constrained in thy time to join in church fellowship and be made pillars and useful in thy house in the years to come. Then, Lord, we pray for those in the evening time of life. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give them special grace, special strength, special help in old age. Above all, Lord, may they be much exercised as they see drawing near that day when they must tread the verge of Jordan. And may it be their one desire to be made ready and prepared for that great day. And then, Lord, remember those in the midst of life with its burdens, concerns, and needs. And, Lord, do grant them thy grace and thy help to bear forth fruit in the midst of life, to stick close to thee, to put thee first, to bring honour and glory to thy great and holy name. and not to forget thee, not to be distracted from thee, but to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. So, gracious God, we ask thy blessing upon this people. We ask thy blessing upon the worship of thy name here this evening. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst follow with thy blessing that which has already been done today in the morning hour of worship and in the Sabbath school. We ask thee, Lord, to come in and abide with us. And that thou wouldst come in and abide with the flock of Zion as it gathers together for worship throughout this whole world. Lord, visit thy church today. And grant, Lord, that thine inheritance may be confirmed when it is weary in their most holy faith. Lord, may souls be born again this evening into thy flock here and elsewhere. May there be the bleating of the lambs. And may there be the edification of the sheep, the feeding of the sheep, the deepening of the work of the sheep. Lord, come and have mercy, and show thyself unto us as the friend of sinners. Lord, we rejoice that what the Pharisees said, although they said it in derision. But Lord, we make it our plea, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord Jesus Christ, receive us poor sinners this night, and send down and break thou the bread of life to our souls. We ask it for thy name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us. Fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn this evening to the Gospel recorded by John, 16th chapter and the 13th verse. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. On his way to the commencement of that path of suffering, of loneliness, of death. The hour has come for him to stand in the sinner's place. But before that hour is fully come, he spends his time in comforting and edifying his disciples before he leaves them. And as he draws near to the Garden of Gethsemane, he makes it clear to his disciples in this chapter that he is going to be taken from them, that he's not going to receive an earthly kingdom, that he's not going to throw out the Roman ruler, that he's not going to establish a throne in Jerusalem. Instead, he's going to leave them. Because the time has come for him to return to an eternal kingdom and to an eternal throne. But he says to them here, as he has said in previous chapters, that he's not going to leave the disciples and he's not going to leave the church of God alone. He sends them the Comforter, as he calls him here. In John 14, he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. In our verse here this evening, he's called the Spirit of Truth. And the comfort he brings is true, lasting, holy comfort. It will prove to be eternal comfort in the end, although here below your enjoyment of it varies, it declines. But if you've ever known the comfort of the Holy Ghost, it never dies. It may lie dormant. It may be damped. But the work of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, in the soul is eternal. If you've ever known comfort here below by the ministration of the Spirit of Truth, you will know the comfort of eternal happiness and eternal peace in heaven hereafter. howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You need a guide into the way of truth. Because we are sinners, we will never find our own way into the way of faith. We'll never find our own way into the way of righteousness. We will never find our own way to God. The only way you will find the presence of God is if the Spirit of truth comes and guides you there. The only way you'll get to heaven is if you have the Spirit of truth to guide you there. It's not enough to come to the house of God. It's not enough even to hear the truth preached faithfully. You need these truths applied. That means brought home to you. That realization that they are real and true. That great change to take place in your own heart. And when the Spirit of truth comes into the heart, he reveals truths that you never knew by nature. One of his offices will be to guide you to Mount Sinai and to apply the law to your conscience. And when he applies the law to your conscience, you'll be brought to that point. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Is that where you are this evening? Your life does not stand up to the scrutiny of a most high and holy God. Look back on your life this evening. Compare it to the law of God. And if you're honest, you won't be able to go far back in your history before you will realize that you've sinned. When the Spirit of truth begins to work in the heart, and when he applies the law of God, he will bring back to your memory sins that you committed long ago and had forgotten. But God hadn't forgotten them. Just because you forget, just because you easily forgive yourself, doesn't mean that God has forgiven you. And the Spirit of truth will bring you to see the solemnity of facing the law of God and knowing that you've broken that law. To bring you to realize what it is to be a sinner. Until the Spirit of truth comes and defines for you what it is to be a sinner, reveals to you that you are the sinner, sin won't mean much to you. Something you can easily explain away. Something that you can justify. Something you can forget. Something which, when you compare yourself with others, you don't think you're that bad. But when God meets you, when the Spirit of truth meets you and reveals to you that the consequence of breaking just one of God's holy law is an eternity spent in hell, That will bring you up with a stop, with a halt. Maybe you didn't even believe in hell. But when God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, who cannot lie, brings you to see that there is a place called hell, and then that place is the abode of unpardoned sinners, that is a place where there is no gospel preached, where there is no hope of forgiveness or release, that is a place of eternal punishment, eternal pain, eternal loneliness, eternal despair. And when you're brought to see that you're going there in your feelings, that will bring you into trouble you've never known the like of. All earthly troubles will pale into insignificance when the Spirit of truth brings you face to face with the law of God that you've broken. And when the Spirit of truth leads you there, you won't be able to run away. You won't be able to escape from it. He'll bring you to that point, the wages of sin is death. But he'll also bring you to the glorious gospel, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He'll bring you into what the hymn writer said. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. And that is the whole point of the Spirit of Truth's work in convicting a man or a woman, a boy or a girl of sin. It's not to leave them at Sinai. It's to lead them beyond Sinai to the remedy for sin. To know not just the law of God applied, but then to know the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary applied to their hearts as the remedy of sin. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. It is the office of the Spirit of truth to make Christ Jesus precious. If you know Jesus Christ, he will be precious to you. To know him is to love him. How many of us know him this evening truly? How many have a revealed Christ to our souls, revealed by the Spirit of truth? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you that Jesus Christ is both God and man in one, that he is the eternal Son of the eternal Father, that he is no less Almighty God than the Father, That he has the same wisdom, the same knowledge, the same power, the same authority, the same holiness. The same ability to be at all places at once, simultaneously, as the Father and also as the Holy Ghost. To bring you to adore and to worship him as God, both as God the Son and as the Son of God. As the hymn writer says, he's man to suffer, he's God to save. And as Almighty God, he saves by his grace. And the Spirit of Truth's office is to bring that saving grace from heaven into your heart. It is the office of the Spirit of Truth to bring the Word of God spoken from the throne of God right down into your heart. That word of promise, that word of deliverance, that word of peace and comfort, that word of correction, that word of direction, the word of power, that word of almighty power. That word which will change your life. That word which will change your attitude. That word which will change your principles. That word which will change your actions. That word which will change you from a rebel into a child. From a blasphemer into a praying man or woman, boy or girl. It is the office of the Spirit of Truth to reveal Jesus Christ to a sinner. And he does it in various ways, as he is sovereign. But the point is this: if he has revealed Christ to you, the one thing you will be able to say is he's precious to you. He means something to you. You're drawn to him. You find an attraction in him. You find a suitability in him. You find in him the satisfaction of all your deepest needs in your soul. And when by faith he takes you to that cross at Calvary, he'll bring you to see that in that precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for sinners, there is power in that blood to take away all your sin. You know, friends, if you measured all the blood of bulls and of goats and of sheep that was shed from the Garden of Eden onwards to the Passover night when the Lord was arrested and condemned to death. And if you put all that blood together, it would probably come to a great depth. But no matter how deep that total would be, that blood that was shed was never pardoned one sinner from one sin. That blood did not have the power to take away sin. But you know, friends, just one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ has the power to take away all your guilt and sin. Such is the power of that blood. And when we speak of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are speaking of the sufferings of Christ. We are speaking of the fact that for each and every individual member of the Church of Christ for whom he has suffered, that at some point upon that cross literally was laid upon him every sin that they committed. Child of God, this evening, may you get a glimpse of it. And poor sinner, this evening, who doesn't feel to be a child of God, may you get a glimpse of it for the very first time. And may the Spirit of truth reveal to you that at some point in those long hours upon that cross, God poured out upon his Son the anger, all the anger that was reserved for you and would have been poured out on you. It was diverted from your soul to his soul, diverted from your head to his head. And as he shed that precious blood for you, he suffered the hell that you would have endured. When we talk of the blood of Christ, we are also talking about the literal death of Christ. The wages of sin is death. And in order for you to be freed from eternal death, it was necessary for the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ not just to endure that death in his holy soul, but to endure literal death as well. That's why he didn't just suffer, but he died. In his literal death, he was bearing the punishment of each believer's sin. So that's what we mean when we talk about the blood of Christ. Has the Spirit of truth made that precious blood attractive to you? The blood of Christ, how sweet it sounds, to cleanse and heal a sinner's wounds. The streams thereof are rich and free. And why, poor soul, why not for thee? That precious blood was shed for sinners. The Spirit of truth will bring you to see that. It wasn't shed for the righteous. It was shed for the ungodly and the unrighteous and the sinners. Those who are made to feel their sin. It wasn't shed for angels. The unfallen angels don't need the atonement. And God passed by the fallen angels sovereignly. That precious blood is shed for sinners of the human race. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty love that God did span at Calvary. Who can comprehend the depth of the love of God shown at Calvary? This is how you and I can be reconciled to God. Through Jesus Christ. God shows himself as the friend of the sinner, as the father of the sinner, as the lover of the sinner, not of his sins. Don't think that. He doesn't love the sins of his people. He hates them just as much as he hates the sins of the ungodly. But he loves their persons. But it is through Jesus Christ that he conveys that love. And it's through Jesus Christ that you, poor sinner, come to God. And so the Father and you meet in Jesus Christ. Again, doesn't the hymn writer, speaking of Calvary, doesn't he speak of that place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet? And when they meet, they agree. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into the truth of election. That solemn yet sacred fact that God Almighty chose a people to save. He'll bring you to see that Christ Jesus did not die for each and every member of the human race, that he died for a particular number. And he had the sovereign right to do so. And mankind does not have the right to reply against God. And you know, friends, one of the reasons man hates the doctrine of election is because it gives God all the glory and him none. But friends, the glory is due to God alone. If you are brought to see just a little of what you are as a sinner, you will not argue with that doctrine of election. You'll see your hope is resting upon it. And to be brought to see that God chose you will make you marvel at the wonder of redeeming love. Because the reality is, friend, if God had never chosen you, child of God, if you're honest, you would never have chosen him first, would you? And the reason for that is because of our depraved nature, because of our sinful nature. As one man once said, I did not love God. I did not want to love God. But he loved me and he made me love him. Have you known that experience? Have you known what it is to have that change from hating God, from despising God, from ignoring God, from perhaps not even acknowledging his existence, to be brought to that point where you love him? And if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. If you love him, you will do what he commands. It'll be your privilege to so live your life in the way which pleases him. It's one of the fruits of the work of the Spirit of truth as he leads you into the truth. Part of that truth is obedience to his commands. Obedience to those 10 commands for love's sake. If you love someone, it is your desire to do what they like, is it? Is it not? If you love someone, you don't deliberately do what you know would grieve them, or would anger them, or cause them distress. No, because you love them, that love influences what you do. So it is in the heart of the believer. And if you have no obedience in your heart to God, it's because you do not have any love to him. And it's because you're yet in your sins. The work of the Spirit of truth always brings obedience in the heart of that one that he works in. For love's sake, not trying to earn salvation, but to show your love to the one who loved you so much. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's why the Lord's people follow him in believers' baptism. That's why the Lord's people come to the Lord's table week, month by month, to remember his suffering. Why? Because he has commanded so to do. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. May the Spirit of truth lay that exercise on your heart. And if he does, he will keep you from falling afterwards. The Spirit of truth is the keeper. That means he defends his people. He guides them and he keeps them in that way. He keeps them from straying and stumbling. Yes, you will know those times when you do stray and wonder, when he does, as it were, withdraw his presence. But he'll bring you back again. And the reason he withdraws his presence is to remind you of your dependence upon him. The reason he withdraws his presence and sometimes allows you to sin is that you don't take him for granted. To remind you that you are a sinner because you've forgotten it. To remind you just how much you owe to him. It is all of grace. It is all of God's work by his Spirit, and it's to him the glory is due. So if this evening you are blessed with great faith, remember who's given you that faith. The Spirit of God has conveyed it to you. It's come down as a gift right from the throne of God in heaven. Then be grateful and thank him for it, and ask him for more grace. Because if he withdraws that grace, you'll fall. If he withdraws that faith, you'll be brought down to nothing in a moment, and you'll be wallowing in unbelief. It is the office of the Spirit of truth to make you sick of self and to make you fond of him. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so, believer, when he gives you a precious promise, when he speaks it into your heart, and when it brings peace, when it brings a realization of God's presence, when it brings a realization of God's love in your heart, has it ever occurred to you, the fact of our verse this evening? The Holy Spirit spoke it to you because he heard it from the lips of the Father and of the Son. And it is his holy office to speak it to you in power. The united God in one speaks that promise, that eternal promise, that fear not, that thus saith the Lord, that yea, I have loved thee. It came from the holy throne of God. It came from the power of God from on high. And God will not withdraw his word. He will not rescind his promise. He will not withdraw his love. He is a faithful God. You're going to prove that. You're going to prove how unfaithful you are. That even as you go on in life, you cannot promise to be better than the past. We don't get better as we go on in the way of faith. We remain dependent upon God, but he'll also bring you, on the one hand, to see your unfaithfulness, your unworthiness of God's blessing and help. And that's a necessary part of the teaching of the Spirit of God. To humble you, to empty you, to teach you humility, to teach you something of what you owe your Saviour. But it'll bring you also to see the faithfulness of God. That no matter how unworthy you are, once he has loved you and has given you that love, he'll never take it from you. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. On such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love? To me, hallelujah, grace shall reign eternally. Do you know what it is to be made one with Jesus? United to Jesus. He is your shepherd. You are his sheep. He is your saviour. You are the one he has saved. He is the vine, you are the branch. He's your elder brother. He's your friend. He's your God. No one can break that union. The devil cannot break it. Not all your sin can break it. The world cannot break it. Your troubles and trials and difficulties and discouragements and distresses all added together will not break it. Not even death itself can break this union. It will break all other unions. The most closest human union must end at death. Death is stronger. It will end that relationship forever. But it can't touch this union. It can't break this union. That of Christ and his sheep. That of the Father with his child. That of the Comforter and Guide and the Spirit of Truth. With this one who he is guiding safe home. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so if he said to you this evening, perhaps he's just said this one word to you. Son or daughter, there's salvation in that word. There's heaven in that word. There's eternal security in that word. If he said to you, son or daughter, it's just the same as if he had said to you, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It's just the same as if he said to you, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. It's just the same as if he'd said to you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's just the same as if he had said to you, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Be thankful for what he has said to you. And then ask him to speak to you again. And to reveal more to you of his love for you. And to give you a deeper love for him. Ask him to draw you closer to him. Ask him to give you more grace and faith. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll bring you to see this truth, that you must separate from the world. Now that is something that your flesh will not like. Because we all have a human nature, which is ungodly and which is at home in the world. But God's word is this, to all believers, not just some. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. His commandments and his exhortations to come out of the world are just as precious as when he gives you a word of promise. Why? Well, if he's calling you now to come out of the world, it's because he has a love for you. It's because he has a care for you. It's because he knows that if you stay in the world, you will be influenced by the world. If you stay in the world, you'll follow the world in its sin. And because he has a love for you, he will not have you going in that path. Because he knows the end of that path is harm and death for your soul. And so in love, he says, come, not go, come. Come out from the world, come into my presence. And then again, if he says, now come out from the world, it's because not only does he not intend for you to be in the company of the world now, he doesn't intend for you to be in their company in eternity either. If he says, come to you now, it's a sure and certain sign that he intends to say, come ye blessed of the Lord to you in the day of judgment. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Ask God then to give you that grace and that love to come out from the world. That means have as little to do with the ungodly as is possible. It doesn't mean that we are to completely isolate and cut ourselves off from the world. Doesn't mean that at all. And nor does it mean that we should be unkind or adopt, as it were, a superior attitude. We should not. Deal with the world graciously. Deal with the world kindly. Remember, if they know you to be a believer, your conduct and your conversation will reflect on Christ. And it is a solemn thing if the world looks at us and says, if that's religion, I want nothing to do with it. ask God then to give you that grace to be in the world but not of it, but to treat them with kindness, with courtesy. And then how often do you pray for your worldly colleagues? Do you ever take them to God in prayer? It may, and no doubt it does, grieve you when you see them blaspheming the name of God, when you see them doing what is grieving to God. But may God give us the grace to pray for them and ask that God, through his mercy, may show to them what he's shown to you. And it may be the Lord will use you to, by your words and by your example, that they may ask that question. There's a difference. What is it? As hymn writer says, show the world how Christians live. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you something of the preciousness of the righteousness of Christ, of the obedience of Christ, of that life that he lived. That pure, perfect, spotless, holy life. That sinless life. That life we should have lived and didn't. And can't. The Spirit of truth will show you the preciousness of that life. And he will show you the necessity of that life being lived. And he will show you that that is your garment, the wedding garment, which makes you fit for heaven, the obedience of Christ, the life of Christ. And so Christ in his entirety will be made precious to you. He'll be made precious to you in his birth. He'll show you that he was born of a virgin, by birth mysterious, that he had no sin. And then he will show you the truth that he's now risen in heaven, exalted, triumphant. And as the hymn writer says, he lives to carry on his people's cause above in heaven. In heaven, he takes your cause. He takes your need. He takes your care before the throne of God, before the Father's face. And he pleads it on your behalf. We are told in the Revelation that there's a rainbow around the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. The emerald was the stone in the breastplate of the high priest from the tribe of Judah. And Christ Jesus came from that tribe. And that rainbow around that throne is a symbol of Christ. And you know, when the Father looks out from that throne, child of God, and coming sinner who was seeking mercy and who was going to find it. And the reason you're going to find it is this. When the Father looks on you, he looks on you through that rainbow. Not outside of it. He looks on you through Jesus Christ. And when he looks upon that bow, he says, I remember my covenant. in a far deeper way when he looks upon Jesus Christ, and that's what that rainbow was a symbol of. He remembers the covenant of his grace and his mercy and his kindness, which he entered into with his Son. And child of God, when he looks upon you through that rainbow, he remembers your place in that covenant. And there's your safety, your security. That is why you find peace. The time is gone. So I must conclude. May the Spirit of truth enable you to go from the house of God this evening and continue meditating on this word. We've just touched on some areas of the truth of God, but there's so many more that are untouched. But ask him himself to lead you into his truth, to guide you into all truth, and to keep you in the way of truth. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £750, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And the wedding of our friends Elizabeth and Nathan will be on Wednesday morning, God willing. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Thank you.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in the worship of thy great and holy name thus far this day. As, Lord, we go on our way, may we each be guided by the Spirit of truth into the way of faith and peace and life. And at last, Lord, may we be guided right into thy eternal presence, there to be made like thee, and to crown thee and worship thee and adore thee as Lord of all. Be with any who now depart. Be with those of us who remain either at thy gracious command and invitation to draw near now to the table of the Lord, to remember thy suffering, or to watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.